Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 28, 2017, or it's Tuesday, 11/2021. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, He Hideth My Soul. He hideth my soul. A wonderful Savior is Yahshua my King. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of wrath are still land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior, this Yahshua my King. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of wrath are still land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there. With numberless blessings each moment he crowned, and filled with his fullness defined. I sing in a rapture, O glory to Yah, O such a redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of wrath are still land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transformed and arise, to meet him in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows of wrath are still land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Praise the Yahweh, part two. We're going to continue on our series here. We're in Deuteronomy, chapter 10. We're on verse 13. Let's back up and do verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth Yahweh and thy Elohim require of thee but to fear the Yahweh the Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Yahweh the Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yahweh and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Yahweh's, thy Elohim, the earth also, with all that therein is, only Yahweh had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Yahweh your Elohim is Yahweh of the gods, and he's a sovereign of sovereigns, a great Yahweh, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Yahweh the Elohim, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy Elohim, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Yahweh the Elohim hath made thee as the stars of the heaven for multitude. Okay, that ends chapter. Let's just go ahead and read. Now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. It says, and Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. Now what did the people, what did the Seventh-day Adventists say in 1863? They told Ellen G. White, we want a president, man president. We want a general organization of Seventh-day Adventists. We want to be like the people or the churches around us. They have organizations. They have a church manual. They have a president and vice president, and they have officers. We want to be like them. And so, Ellen G. White's husband, which is the leader in that movement to organize the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, set about doing it. By 1863, they had an organization. And in 1971 at Gilead Center, Brother Johnson set about to reorganize the Adventist Church into an organization like they originally had before. And so he went about to get a tax-exempt number. He wanted to be like, so he could have, be recognized by the government, by the IRS, as being a tax-free organization. Brother Johnson did not know. He did not know at the Seventh-day Adventists. They did not have a tax-exempt number at that time, in 1971. Brother Johnson thought they did. But he didn't bother to go and check and find out for sure, because the Adventists knew that there wasn't any law that required any church organization to have a tax-exempt number. They were automatically exempt. All churches are automatically exempt without having to get an authorization for exemption. Brother Johnson didn't know that. But because he wanted to be like all of the Sunday-keeping churches around him, he applied for a tax-exempt number, and he got it. And lo and behold, the Adventists found out that in about 1981, when they wanted to sue an independent group of Adventists that broke off from the main body of Adventists and started their own independent organization using the Seventh-day Adventist name, then the Adventists sued them over the trademark for the Adventist name. And when the Adventists went to court with them, the judge laughed at them. They told the Seventh-day Adventists, You can't sue your brother over this because you have not taken out a tax-exempt number. An IRS tax-exempt number. Says you can't sue anybody. So the evidence, they went and took out a tax-exempt number about 1981, 82, 83, something like that. And then they were able to sue their brother over, and they trademarked the Adventist name, and then they sued their brother that they couldn't use the Adventist name anymore. So that's how the Adventists came about getting a tax-exempt number, just so they could have the authority to sue their brother. And so Brother Johnson didn't know all this stuff. He didn't bother to go and investigate to find out. All he knew that he wanted to be just like all the Sunday-keeping churches around him. And so, therefore, this is what the First Samuel, chapter 12, is all about. And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice, and all that you said unto me, and I have made a king over you. So, the Adventists hearkened unto the people in 1862, they organized the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and they got a president. They started out with a president. And so they had a king reigning over them. And Ellen G. White was their prophet. Just like Yahshua was the one that was a king over Israel. And Samuel was his prophet. But the people wanted a king that they could see that was like them, one from among from their midst. In other words, they didn't want Yahshua to be king over them, a sinless person, a sinless monarch that has never sinned, that was all powerful, was all wise and knowing, could direct them 100% perfectly in all their ways. And they even fought the battles for them, and they didn't have to do anything but just go farm their land and live in peace. No, they wanted a king over them, and so they did. They got them a king, and then they had to form an army. They had to go and fight their own battles. They didn't have Yahshua fighting their battles for them anymore. Now, the first president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, his name was John Byington. B-Y-I-N-D-T-O-N.
G-T-O-N.
Byington, yeah. So anyway, let's go now to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 2. And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you. And I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Yahweh and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or who have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes for therewith? And I will restore you. And he said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man hand. And he said unto them, The Yahweh is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Yahweh that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Yahweh of all the righteous acts of the Yahweh which he did unto you and unto your fathers. When Jacob was coming to Egypt, and your fathers cried unto Yahweh, then the Yahweh sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forget the Yahweh the Elohim, he sold them into the hand of Caesarea, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand Philistines and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto Yahweh and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken Yahweh and have served Balaam and Asherah. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And Yahweh sent Zerubbabel and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwell safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Yahweh your Elohim was your king. Now it says, when the Yahweh your Elohim was your king. This was his son, when the Yahshua, your Messiah, the son of Yahweh, was your king. And people's going to have to get used to this in the Old Testament. Yahshua was their invisible king. 1 Samuel 11:1-2. There's a cross-reference to that. Let's look at that. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. 1 Samuel 12:13. Now therefore behold the king whom you have chosen, and whom you have desired. And behold, the Yahweh has set a king over you. If you will fear the Yahweh and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of Yahweh, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Yahweh your Elohim. But if they will not obey the voice of Yahweh, but rebel against the commandment of Yahweh, then shall the hand of Yahweh be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Yahweh will do before your eyes. Is it not what wheat harvest today? I will call on Yahweh, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Yahweh, and asking you a king. What happens when it rains in the time of harvest? It ruins the grain. It ruins the harvest. So Samuel called on Yahweh, and Yahweh sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Yahweh and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Yahweh the Elohim, and we will die not, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Yahweh, but serve the Yahweh with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. And Yahweh will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased Yahweh to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, Yahweh forbid that I should sin against the Yahweh and ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Yahweh and serve him in the truth, with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Okay, that ends chapter 12. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 15. It says, It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, Of what city art thou? And he said, thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel. And Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man disputed of the king to hear thee, or deputed of the king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Okay. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vows, which I have vowed unto Yahweh in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Yahweh shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Yahweh. I will serve the Yahweh. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for an Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. And there came a messenger unto David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servants said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my master the king shall appoint. And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pleathites, and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king unto Ittai, the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may return thou, and take back thy brethren's mercy and truth be with thee? And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Yahweh liveth, and as my master the king liveth, surely, in what place my master the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said unto Ittai, go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook of Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, and they set down the ark of Yahweh. And Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of Yahweh into the city, If I shall find favor in the eyes of Yahweh, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. The king said also unto Zadok the priest, art thou not a seer? Return into the city in peace, and your two sons with you. Thy son, and Jonathan, the son of Abathar. See, I will tarry in the plain of the wilderness until there come word from you to certify me. Zadok therefore and Abathar carried the ark of Yahweh again unto Jerusalem, and they tarried there. And David went up by the ascent of the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head. They went up weeping as they went up. And one man told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Yahweh, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mountain where he worshipped Yahweh, behold, Hushea the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abathar the priest? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it unto Zadok and Abathar the priest. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz and Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abathar's son, and by them you shall send unto me everything that you can hear. So Hushaiah, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Right then, 2 Samuel chapter 15. Actually, let's review this verse 8 again. Absalom is telling his father David, for thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Yahweh shall bring me again indeed unto Jerusalem, then I will serve the Yahweh. And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. And then that's where Absalom, he lied. He lied to David. He lied about telling the Yahweh he would serve him if he brought him again to Jerusalem. And so Absalom, he goes into a conspiracy there, and he sends out spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. So, Absalom, I don't know how anyone can think that they can defy Yahweh and lie about Yahweh telling them, making a covenant with Yahweh that they will serve him when in their heart they had no intention. They had a conspiracy in their heart. And then we know what happened. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, let's go into, and Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also unto Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem to keep the Passover, and to the Yahweh Elohim of Israel. For the king had taken counsel, and his princes, and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even unto Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto Yahweh of Elohim of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such short sort as it was written. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according unto the commandment of the king, saying, "Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. Then be not ye like your fathers, and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Yahweh Elohim of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Yahweh, and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Yahweh your Elohim, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. And if you turn again unto the Yahweh, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Yahweh your Elohim is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him." So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of Yahweh was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of Yahweh. Second Chronicles chapter 30, verse 13, "And there assembled at Jerusalem such much people to keep the feast of the unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for the incense took they away, and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of Yahweh, and they stood in their place after their manner, according unto the law of Moses, the man of Yahweh. The priests sprinkled the blood, which they received at the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Yahweh. For a multitude of the people, even many of the Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. So Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, The good Yahweh pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek Yahweh, the Yahweh Elohim of his father, though he be not cleansed according unto the purification of the sanctuary. And Yahweh hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Yahweh day by day, singing with the loud instruments unto the Yahweh. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Yahweh, and they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to Yahweh Elohim of their fathers. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah king of Judah did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of the Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, and that dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of the Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Okay, that ends chapter 30 of 3 Chronicles. Now let's go to chapter 33 and continue on our theme of serve the Yahweh. Verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Yahweh had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. Also he built altars in the house of Yahweh, where the Yahweh said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven and the two courts of the house of Yahweh. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of Yahweh, of which Yahweh had said unto David and unto Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel will I put my name forever. Neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded them, according unto the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances by the hand of Moses. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Yahweh had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Yahweh spake unto Manasseh and unto his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Yahweh brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Yahweh his Elohim, and humbled himself greatly before the Elohim of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Yahweh, he was the Yahweh. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David on the west side of Gihon, and the valley even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of wall on all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of Yahweh, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of Yahweh and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Yahweh, and sacrificed their own peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Yahweh of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did not sacrifice still in the high places, or did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Yahweh the Elohim on it. Now the rest of the acts of the Manasseh and his prayer unto his Elohim, and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. is pure also, and how Yahweh was intrigued of him and all his sin and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places and set up groves and graven images before he was humble, before they are written among the saying of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Yahweh, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Amon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all them that had conspired against King Amon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. For Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years, and he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the Elohim of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces, and made dust of them, and stowed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem, and so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even under Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graves' images into powder, and cut down all the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned unto Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joel, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of Yahweh his Elohim. And when they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of Yahweh, which the Levites had kept the doors, had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of Yahweh, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of Yahweh to repair and amend the house. Even unto the artificers and builders gave they it, to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses of which the king of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jehath and Obadiah, and the Levites of the sons of Meriah, and Zechariah, and Meshulam, all of the sons of the Kohathites, to sit it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of the instruments of the music. Also they were over the bearers of the burdens, and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites there were scribes and officers and porters, and when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of Yahweh, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Yahweh given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of Yahweh. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy service, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of Yahweh and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, said, go and call the Yahweh for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of Yahweh that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of Yahweh to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Hasrah, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwells in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake unto her to that effect. And she answered them, thus saith the Yahweh Elohim Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto the other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Yahweh, so shall ye say unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before Yahweh, when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, says Yahweh. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Now shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, and upon the inhabitants of the land. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of Yahweh and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of Yahweh. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Yahweh to walk after the Yahweh, and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according unto the covenant of Yahweh, the Elohim of their father. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained unto the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve even to serve the Yahweh the Elohim in all his days. They departed not from following the Yahweh the Elohim of their fathers. Okay, that ends chapter 34 of Serve the Yahweh topic. Now we'll go to Psalms chapter 2 and see what we have there. Let's start with verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth sit themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Yahweh with the fear, and rejoice with the trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, isn't it amazing that David is telling the people to serve the Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling and kiss the Son. Kiss his Son, Yahshua, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Okay, that ends chapter 2 of Psalm. Let us continue now with, let's go to Psalms 100. Read some more about serving the Yahweh. It says that, make a joyful noise unto the Yahweh, all ye lands. Serve the Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Yahweh, he is Elohim. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Yahweh is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations. His truth endureth to all generations. Okay, that's the end of Psalms 100. Let's go to Psalms 102. Hear my prayer, O Yahweh, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as in a hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Yahweh, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stone, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Yahweh shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Yahweh, for he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From the heaven did the Yahweh behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed unto death, to declare the name of the Yahweh in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Yahweh, He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my Yahweh, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. This brings further studies our contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close now with a song entitled The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Yahshua's blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, the holy lane on Yahshua's name. On Yahshua the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. And every hard and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On the ice with a solid the rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, eating is all my hope and stay. On the ice with a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Shall come with trumpet sound, oh may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On the earth with a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is